Hello, everyone. This is Victor Wooten, and I want to thank you for joining me and listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, your shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome back. You guys, I see familiar faces. I see, I hear familiar sounds of the Verbal Shenanigans audience tuning in to another edition of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Episode 252, Mike.
Shenanigans.
You guys thought we were done at 250. You thought we were done at 250. We're not. We are done. Mm-hmm. We're done at 252.
Don't call it a comeback. We've been here for years.
We're done at 252. So you guys got about 88 minutes left of us, and that's the end. But everybody, welcome. Yep. Yep. Welcome to the program. Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. We've been doing this a long time now. We kind of reflected on that about 2 weeks ago. When we had one of my favorite interviews we've done in a while, Garrett McNamara on. And then last week we had good old Launchpad McQuack on. Terry McGovern, a voice actor. Mike, this is going to be a revelation for us, but voice actors like to talk.
Yeah. When they have an answer, it's usually not a multiple choice. They go right to the essay.
Oh, they go right to those little blue books that we had to fill out in time. You remember? You had to fill. You have 45 minutes to fill as much in that out as you can. They were probably really good at that. But that's the second or third voice actor we've had on, and very nice guy, but not short of words. That is for sure. Sorry, Terry, you were great, but. So welcome back to the show. Each week we do a few different things. We do talk about our mundane lives, try to make them relatable to you. We play some stupid games, and we always have a very interesting guest. Mike, I think you texted me the other day. I forget what episode it was. 100 something was
awesome. Episode 110. Basically, in my Facebook memories, it came up on that episode, and I believe that episode was the last time we did an episode without a guest on the show.
Yeah, so that makes 142 or something like that since the last time we had no guest.
Three years.
we try to keep it fresh here. Now, speaking of keeping it fresh, Mike. I had to hit record really quick because you were getting to a really hot topic just before we hit record that I wanted to capture the moment. I didn't want to let this magic kind of go. Let me refresh. We did an interview prior to this for next week's episode, and I had to go pee real quick, and I come back and you were crunching on something, and then you stated to me, whew, I had to get something, I had to eat something, and I had to shove down some ham eggs.
I had to shove some ham eggs down my throat was the proper quote, oh. Scott. Don't be trying to twist this story with something weird.
Sorry, Mike.
Tell the people the truth. I said I had to shove ham eggs down my throat, Scott.
I like that the truth is a little more intense than even how I presented it. So, ham eggs. Yes. I mean, what do you mean by ham eggs?
The ham eggs is what you do is you take a slice of ham and you put it in a muffin tin, and then you fill it with some eggs, some cheese, some vegetables.
Gotcha.
Then it comes out kind of like in a muffin form. So we didn't have anything really I saw in the fridge that was pre-made, so I started making it. And then I figured out the time, like, all right, we're going to be doing the interview while we're doing it. So I told Izzy to take it out of the oven for me. And then once you said you had to take a pee break, I'm like, all right, this is my one chance to get some food in my system. So I ran up there, took a couple out of the two out of the muffin tins, and I just started running downstairs, shoving ham eggs.
You were like,
my throat.
So in your mind, you were like, it's time to seize the opportunity. I need ham eggs.
Oh. I got pee. Take your time. Ham egg time.
You know, like when a junkie seizes an opportunity to go shoot up, like real quick, like in the bathroom, like, oh, I'll be right back. That was kind of what went through your mind. Now, I've done that before. I've never
like
done
cartoons where it's like the cartoons where they had like Wimpy craves a hamburger and his eyes turn to hamburgers. As you said, I had to pee. Just ham eggs started spouting out of my eyes in my head.
Well, I'm glad. Do you feel satisfied? Do you feel like you have enough nourishment to continue this cast?
Yes, I had two of them. That is proper nutrition. I feel full, but not too full. Thank you, ham eggs, for this bounty that you have given me tonight. And now we go on with the show.
Ham eggs. You can't just eat one. I believe that was the official ham egg motto in 72. But
Don't quote me. It's been a large tradition of ham eggs.
I've had something very similar, like where you make the eggs in the pan, we cut up whatever. You make the thing, the muffin tins. But I didn't call them ham eggs. This is what now, is this a Burlew name or is this like a real thing?
It doesn't really have a name, so Burlew said, you know what? Now it's got one.
Burlew's ham eggs. Wash it down with a glass of snake milk. Gotcha.
When you are in Georgia and you're done with snake milk and peaches, there's only one thing you can turn to. Burlew's ham eggs.
Works
great with grits.
Wash it down with a beautiful glass of warm snake milk. Mmm. Ham eggs.
Just the way mama made them.
I remember my mom would make fried bologna a lot, which is a pretty white trash meal in itself. I don't like bologna, but for some reason, I guess when you deep fry, I mean, when you fry bologna with a little oil in a pan and slap it on a sandwich, then Brennan's will eat it up. So.
Yeah, I can't say I ever partaken in fried bologna. It wasn't after probably 8, I was done with the whole bologna thing. Yeah, I don't think I was like a go-to sandwich. So.
Me too. Like, I didn't like bologna, and my brother loved bologna. And he didn't just love bologna. He loved, like, the cheap bologna, like the Wonder Bar bologna. And I remember, like, a lot of times at lunch, like, going to grab my brown bag and going to open it up and be like, oh, man, I got Tim's sandwich, and I had to, like, eat a bologna sandwich, and I was very miserable about it. That, I remember, it's amazing kids who grew up in the 90s aren't dead. Because the nutrition value of my lunch every day probably had 10% nutrition and 90% crap. It was like always a bologna or ham sandwich. And then I always had the Little Debbie snack cakes. Like to this day, I shiver at the thought of Little Debbie snack cakes. I had the zebra cakes. They were like the white ones with the like chocolate zigzags on them, and I always remember they get smashed in your backpack, and I'd go to open them, and it would just be like, like zebra cake powder all over the table, and there you are, like, scraping the crumbs from the lunch table to try to kind of put your cake back together.
You just scoop it up in your hand just so you feel like you got a treat that day.
Yeah, yeah, it was like zebra cakes, Cosmic Brownie, which is like a brownie with a couple rainbow sprinkles on it. At Christmas time, it was the green trees. Ugh.
No, well, you're a nutter butter kind of guy.
I didn't dislike them. We never had them in the house. I think my mom was loyal to Little Debbie for some reason. Maybe her and Little Debbie grew up together. And
you think she got some like stock in Little Debbie?
I don't know.
She's like, you know, Scott, I put a couple extra in your box. Maybe tell your friends about it. You know, maybe Maybe we can. Mama can afford a vacation this year if you tell people about the Star Crunch.
All you need to do is get your friends to write their email address right here on this little Debbie paper and bring it back to Mama. And
I just see you on the corner, like, giving kids. No, no, first one's for free. And you hand over the little Debbies, and, like, the next day, man, can I have another one? It's gonna a little more expensive than free now, my friend. I mean, I just can't give away little Debbies all the time.
You got the hunger, don't you?
I lose too much money.
You got the hunger, don't you? You want a Debbie, don't you? You got ding dongs. They ain't gonna cut it though. You want them Debbies? You want them Debbie cakes? You want them zebra cakes?
Mm.
But I don't know. Yeah, maybe
He tries to give you a quarter, and you just take an oatmeal pie and you throw it on the ground and you stomp on it, and they go, there's your quarter.
There's your Debbie right there, pal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
Again.
Oh, so we're back. You froze again, Berlew, and you just. I don't know, whatever. Whatever that is, but
I had a thought. I just didn't know how to continue it, so I just stuck on that one note.
What's the matter with him? He's getting to it. Leave him alone.
when it comes out, it's going to be the greatest interview question of all time. Don't worry.
You like pineapples on pizza? Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I don't know. Maybe my mom went to school with Debbie as a kid. Like they were, you know, school mates or whatever you call them. And, you know, maybe she's just trying to help her out.
But back in the day, she knew her as Deborah Cakes.
Deborah Kakonovich. but nutrition was brutal. Yeah, then you wash that down with either back in the day, it was one of like I either got a Capri Sun, which I would 94% of the time, I tracked it, would poke a hole through the back of it with the straw, and I would have two holes.
You either go through the other end or you literally spend an hour stabbing at it trying to get it through the hole.
What a terrible design that was. The hole, and the hole was not like big, it was the size of the straw. Like,
so exactly.
There was a lot of margin for error on the Capri Sun. And then as I evolved to like middle school, high school, it would be Snapples. And I don't know if you've looked recently at the sugar content of a Snapple. It's ridiculous. Oh. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Apparently the best stuff on earth is pure sugar.
Yeah.
That's what they meant by the commercial. They weren't lying. It was made from the best stuff on earth. You just don't want to know what it is.
Yeah. They're like, you guys believed us. Like, you know, we were just saying, we were telling you the truth, actually.
Yeah, we had that actress receptionist at front, and you all thought she was genuine and good-natured and all that. No.
Yeah.
There's a reason why she left us. She had diabetes.
This was a before we get to our guest, which I'm very excited about, returning guest today. We'll get to that in just a second. Legendary guest. I guess I'll have to sour the podcast for a minute. I know we were talking about Little Debbie went up, but you ever like? Do you believe at all in like bad things happen in like in threes or whatever, or like kind of like. I don't know if I specifically believe in the three, but it always seems like when one thing happens, another one kind of happens similar to it.
I mean, I've heard that when two celebrity dies at the around the same time, everybody's like, "What? Who's the third gonna be?" I mean, I don't buy into they come in threes. I mean, yeah.
I don't buy the three thing either. But I don't know if it's a consciousness thing, like when something happens. And then something else happens similar. Your mind's on that thing, so they kind of, I don't know. It's recent in your mind, so it connects.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to get into the one part out of respect for what happened. But all in all, what happened, a 12-year-old boy that I had known from a job drowned.
Wow.
Yeah. Tragedy, and I'm not really going to talk about that. So that was a obviously awful thing that happened. And Sunday, was the service. Yesterday was the service, and I was going to it. And then, of course, so I'm down the shore in the morning when my parents were going down to the beach just early in the morning for a couple hours, grab some breakfast, and I'm an early beach guy. Obviously, my skin cannot handle the beach for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I'm good.
You're an 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. beacher, basically.
Exactly. Well, honestly, we do get there around 8 a.m. and probably we're out by noon usually. Like, we're on the way home, which is perfect for me. Or I like the tail end of the day, like the 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock area, where it's kind of nice on the boardwalk.
All right.
I'm leaving. I have to leave at the time to get to this service, which I'm not looking forward to. And it was bothering me all weekend. And there's traffic on the parkway. And, you know, a lot of traffic. What's this? Probably an accident, blah, 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 blah. Now, you know, accidents involve rubbernecking and all that stuff. And it's a motorcycle accident. And I find that out beforehand. So, of course, we're pulling up. My dad is driving. I'm in the front seat. And as we're pulling up, I see the motorcycle on the ground. I'm like, oh, God. Like, and I see the cops. And then, of course, the moment I just look to the left, there is somebody covered in a sheet with a hand hanging out and a shoe on the ground. And then, of course, the wind blows just at the right time. And I catch a glimpse of this dead body. I'm like, come on. Like, it just skeeves you out. Like, right away, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. One, like, you never want to see that, obviously. And then it's just like, when your mind's already on this tragic thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, you, like, look to the left and tune in, and there's, like, another one right in front of you. I'm like, come on. And then I find out today that somebody that I know knew the guy who died in the motorcycle.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. So what is that, man? What what is that? Like, you know?
Well, I mean, crazy. I mean, it's small world. There's no other way to describe it. I mean, when you're talking to people in the same state, I mean, there's always a decent shot that somebody's going to know somebody. And nowadays, even at the very linear level of, oh, yeah, he was a Facebook friend or something like that. So,
well, it's just true in everything. Like, yeah, like you said, social media or whatever brings everything even. Like, I feel like even before social media, there would be random times you're just talking to someone and something pops up in a conversation and boom, all of a sudden you know someone that they know. Hey, did you go here? Yeah, I went there. Yeah, yeah. Did you know? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. You know, and that would happen now through, like, social media. You'll see, like, one of your friends or something, and it'll say, like, people they know, and it's, like, one of your friends from a completely different, like, genre of your life. Like, oh, that's a comedy friend, knows somebody from Boy Scouts back in the day. That's weird. And you always want to kind of find out how they know each other. But, man, just a crappy dark cloud, like, the last day or so. And it's weird. It's just like, it just sneaks up. And I didn't know either of these people that well. I didn't know the motorcycle guy at all, but just to see that was not a fun visual.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it weighs on you more considering, one, the age of the first one, and then just her by accident, by pure quote unquote luck, seeing the body and then hearing somebody knew about it. They just kind of. It's always that eerie quirkiness that weighs on you where you're like, ah, life ain't fair sometimes. You know, it's not, it's way different than having like some like 96-year-old person passing away where you're like, oh, I'm saddened, but they got their life. Those situations you're like, that should not be.
I think those kind of things, like, of course, they're insanely sad, and it does serve as a reminder, like, how fragile this thing is. You know, like, you, me, your best friend, anybody can go at any time, anything, any freak thing that happens, and it's just like, damn, like, I got to stop thinking I'm, you're getting your routine and you plan your future and you look 10 years down the line. You know, sometimes the old saying, you got to live in the now because it's true. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a weird way, I don't think we think we're immortal, but you just take for granted that, well, it's not going to happen tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't mean immortal in a sense that, like, hey, I wouldn't be around forever, but the rest of your life seems like it's this long thing that'll you'll never actually get to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, hey, I got everything. I got my job. I got this. I got my dog. You know, and it's like, it just takes one misstep, one bad decision, one crappy stroke of luck, you know, somebody else doing something, anything, you know, one sickness. It's just nuts. You know, sometimes it's like, wow, we really do have to live them. Like, stop stressing out about garbage, man, because it's just not worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I talk to my wife all the time, you know, like, don't worry about this petty stuff at work, or don't worry about this and that. You can't. Like, there's a million jobs out there if this is not the one. Like, just, you know, or at least when you get home, like, put that away for now, you know?
Yeah, put it in the back of mind, because I've had a few scares in my family recently. I don't want to get into any stuff, but it makes you sit back and say, all right, you know, make sure you keep in touch with people and, you know, do things in life. Don't worry about, well, I got to double down on work and stuff like that, because so you say, we're only on this planet for a little bit of time.
That's it. You think about your existence. Your existence is a blip on the radar of Earth, you know? Like, sometimes I like to think of, like, and they're like, this thing is 8 billion years old or whatever. You're like, I am not even a... Like, if you put my life...
You can't even make the fraction. Put your age to 8 billion and put it down. It's like, all right, how many zeros before I finally get to a number?
I am just a garbage blip on the radar, you know? Like, crazy. Like, and then you think of, like, even all the people that are, like, influential in our time period. You take a Martin Luther King. He is just a blip in the history of something. How do we know we weren't, like, eviscerated and, you know, society had to start all over once again, and there was similar things back then? It's just, I don't know. It's hard to believe that we're only the age we are.
Yeah.
You know?
By the way, welcome to the hilarious verbal shenanigans, everybody.
That's it. That's it. Hey, we're not always a dog and pony show here. We like to delve into things, but I guess that we can segue this into this guest as far as just being fortunate, and talking about like social media and things kind of connecting you together. We had the honor of really interviewing him. It's quite a while back now, and I was so pumped about it, and it was really easy to set up. And that is a man by the name of Victor Wooten. Victor Wooten, to me, it's not even a question as far as anybody I've seen. It's the best living bass player, maybe the greatest of all time, depending on what your style is and whatnot. But the guy does amazing things. Just go look up. Just go YouTube a video of him playing the thing. It looks like a wizard is playing an instrument.
And it's been a while. He was on episode 143.
Okay.
100-some episodes ago.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, like 110 ago. And it was one of my favorite interviews. It still remains one of my favorite interviews. I still remember the excitement of booking him the first time and just being like, wow, like that guy really influenced me back in the day. And I remember me and my friends in the band, like, we would watch videos, like, right, this was also like when like YouTube was kind of like coming, and I remember like being able to find videos and God, like, look at this dude, and everyone would be like, Jesus Christ, like, he's like, I don't know, like the Joe Satriani I remember back in the day with guitars and being blown away, and then now seeing like you know, Victor Wooten a couple years later and being, wow, the bass can really be like the, you know, the star of the show. So obviously, you guys have figured it out by now. We are were able to get in touch with Victor once again and sit down and talk to him for a little while. And he's just as cool as the first time.
Laid back,
very appreciative, very, I don't want to say spiritual, but very, very in touch with the earth, very in touch with his, what he does and the things he does. We talk about a lot of different things. We talk about his camps and his art and things. I won't spoil it all for you, but Grammy Award winner, I don't know what else to say. Just one of the best living musicians on the planet Earth. Coming on Verbal Shenanigans for the second time, here's our interview with Victor Wooten.
Hello.
Hey, is this Vic?
It's me, yeah.
Victor Wooten, what is up? First off, thank you so much for giving us another few minutes. Honestly, it's a real honor to even get to talk to you again.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for speaking with me. I'm actually walking down the street as we talk, so hopefully it's not too noisy.
No, it brings a nice nature vibe to the cast.
Good. Now, I'm just curious, are we calling you in Iowa once again, like the last interview?
No, I'm in Lawrence, Kansas today.
Oh, and,
it just happens to be a day off. We're actually passing through on our way to somewhere in Minnesota. And we're just hanging out today, and I'm walking through town. It's a beautiful day.
I feel like we're with you, like we're taking a stroll with you at the moment.
Well, you are. I like it.
You are. See, I was still hoping he was in Iowa so we could brag we were the official Victor Wooten Iowa podcast.
Well,
they'll never know. You know, if they want to say Iowa.
That's the correct.
In Iowa, Kansas.
So, Victor, I guess I'll start right here while we got some time with you. I know, like, even as we were scheduling this, kind of messaging me back and forth, you were saying you were entering a camp last week. Up in the next coming weeks. And I know, following your Instagram, it's the 20th year of this camp. Can you explain what that is for listeners and kind of how that's evolved to 20 years of doing it?
Absolutely. It's kind of surprising that it's reached 20 years already. But in the year 2000, I ran my first camp, and it was only for bass players. And it came about because, for one, people were asking me about my approach to music. And also, I had taken a lot of outdoor nature classes. Probably strange stuff for most people, but basically, it's all the information that our grandparents and before knew, or else we wouldn't be here.
Right.
Which is, you know, how to live off the land, how to plant gardens, how to read the weather, get clean water, purify, all this kind of stuff. And I just got hooked on it, and I realized, man, this is really the key to life, and it's the key to everything. And I realized I became more musical, and I understood music better because of this nature stuff I was learning. Realizing that to be natural at anything, you need to include nature. So I ran a camp that I called the Bass Nature Camp. And it was only for bass players, but I had some nature instructors that would get people outside. And I rented a state park. And, you know, so for 5 or 6 days, we live together and we share and we eat together. And basically, we're in our 20th year of it. But now, my wife and I own the property for the last 12 or 13 years. We own the property. We call it Wooten Woods. It's just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And we do camps for any instrument and different topics every month from May through October. And we haven't done all the different camps for 20 years, but the base camp where we started, this is the 20th year, yes.
It's unbelievable. Now, like, how many would you, like, with this 20th year, like, how many people, like, do you have at the camp at one time?
At one time, we usually cap it at 60.
Wow.
But I think this year's base camp is going to be probably 67, I think. And I chose that number in the beginning because this is going to risk sounding egotistical, and I apologize in advance.
It's okay.
Okay. I didn't want people to come to my camps and not feel like they got a good dose, I guess, of me.
No, right. It makes complete sense. Yep.
I know you know, you can go to a tennis, you know, maybe there's a tennis camp that may have a big name on it, but you go there and you rarely see that person. You know, he may show up at lunch and, you know, and more than likely you won't get to hit tennis balls with him. And so what I did with this camp, I knew I wanted to have as many people as possible. And in 2000, there were no base camps. So we got a lot of people wanting to come, but I didn't want too many that I couldn't see everybody every day.
That's amazing.
So capping it at 60, we can split them into groups of 15. And then I can take each group, each of the four groups I can have one at a time. So I can have a group of 15 for an hour. Then they get a little break, and then I get the next group. And that group will go on to another teacher, you know. So there's always four classes going on at a time. And one of them's with me, but also one of them is with my nature instructor. So, you know, it's quite different. But you got to remember this, you know, at our camps, it's all inclusive. We stay there. You're lodging there. You're eating there. The showers are there. And so we're there 24/7. So I don't want you to have your instrument in your hand for 24 hours. We need to do something else. So I find other things that I think are beneficial to your life that we do other than just playing music. And it really makes your music more powerful because now you have something to play about other than just I practiced all day.
Dude, is there a station where they get to hit tennis balls with you?
Sure. We had we have a basketball court, but you know, and we have room for a tennis court. We just haven't put one in yet.
I'd be really mad if I went to your camp and you learn from you, and then you just we go to play basketball, and you're just raining three pointers on me all day
long.
Well,
you may not want either prepare to be mad, or
Victor. I thought we were going to
make this guy handle
involved in this podcast. Wait a minute, yeah. Hold on.
Come on, I might be short, but you know.
I could see you running the point.
Yeah, yeah. That was my thing when I was younger. You know, I'm almost 55 now, so I'm slowing down a little bit. But you know, I still got a little game.
Dude, I've seen guys 55-year-olds at the YMCA that can just still dominate. So I believe
you. There
we
go.
I believe you.
All right. Yeah, you guys got to come to the camp. Find out.
So what kind of age ranges are we talking about at this camp?
Yeah, all ages. Well, you know, let me just say, not quite all ages. Most of our camps are 15 and up. Just for fun, we say 15 to 99, just to give it a number. But we also do a few camps a year that go down to age 10.
Wow.
And it's mainly because it's not a daycare. We want people to be able to control themselves and be able to put up with what we're offering because we pack it in. Not a lot of free time. But on our, you know, on our younger camps, what we call our junior camps, we shorten the classes. We make them more fun. There's less talking, more activity. But, you know, we don't want to go too young to where, people can't control themselves. But parents are allowed to accompany their kids if they want. But even still, we don't allow the parents to join the kids in the classes because we don't want the kids performing for and looking over their shoulder at the parents. You know, the parents are right there. They're right outdoors. They're right outside the door. And that's then awesome. Every day we have a few group classes where all the students are together and we have a teacher doing something for everyone. The parents are allowed at those.
Nice. I mean, I think back when I was 15, 16, picking up it's about when I picked up a bass, and what an awesome experience that would be. I mean, I was a Boy Scout growing up, spending time in the outdoors all the time, plus bass playing. Yeah. It feels like if this was around, actually, maybe it was around, and I just didn't know about it, but what a tremendous experience that's got to be for them.
It is. It really is, and it's hard to imagine. It really is hard to imagine because for one, I'm not the only instructor. I don't want people to come there and only get my view about music.
Yep.
We have a bunch of instructors, and every camp has surprise guests, meaning guests that haven't been announced. And so that can be anyone from Stanley Clarke to Marcus Miller to, you know, Mike Stern is going to be here at this space camp with his wife, Lani Stern, you know, the great jazz player. This space camp, Akiti Kumalo, who played on Graceland with Paul Simon, he's going to be there. You know, Dennis Chambers, Omar Hakim, you know, we have people from all walks of life, great nature instructors, you know, and just inspiring people. You know, we've even had, he's a tennis pro that actually plays some guitar. We've had, not McEnroe, but we've had him at our camps. We get all kinds of inspiring people. Jim Currier is his name. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jim Currier. Yeah, I remember him.
He used to wear the hat. He always rocked the hat.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, so we just look for people who can inspire you, and they don't have to be musicians.
It's awesome.
You know, so it's fun. So people really get their lives in order because, you know, my mom had a saying that said, what does life need with just another good musician? Mom said, we have plenty. She said, what we need are good people. So, you know, that's the real goal of the camp is to help produce good people that love themselves and are confident. And we found that one of the best ways to do it is through music.
That's awesome.
Now, Victor, let's shift a little bit to your music. Now, we were able to talk to you a lot about music last time, and you know, I like that you're always releasing new music, whether it's with your solo stuff, Tripnotics, you know, with the Flecktones, whatever. You're always releasing new stuff. When it comes to deciding on projects for you at this point, after doing this for decades and decades and decades and working with everyone from your brother to the best musicians in the entire world, how do you pick and choose your projects at this point? Like, and what?
That's a good question. But I would guess that it's very similar to you picking people who you want to talk to on your podcast.
Right, right.
You know, the world is huge, and there's so many interesting people. And then you find out that everybody has a story. You could blindly pick someone off the side of the street, and you could have a good interview.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
So music is just as big. Music is just as big, and there's so many people I would love to play with, and I know that I can't play with them all. And so I end up usually going to, how do I want to express myself? You know, and so I might say, man, I want to do it with a trio that doesn't have a chordal instrument, where I can play chords on the bass.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, maybe it's time to do one with just my brothers, or maybe it's time to do one that's acoustic, where I'm playing upright, double bass.
Nice.
You know, there's so many things. You know, my Tripnotics was the trio.
Yep.
Where I played some keyboard parts on the bass.
I love that album, by the way.
Thank you.
By the way.
Thank you. You know, Words and Tones featured female vocalists. Mostly female vocalists. You know, Yin and Yang there was two records. One was instrumental, one was vocal. You know, so I always have so many ideas, and the good thing for me is I'm not short of ideas, and I still have a lot of things that I want to, hopefully I can do before I get out of here.
Now, for doing it for so long, is it still, how easy is it to come up with something new and interesting to you versus when you were younger and just starting on your grassroots, if you will?
Well, again, at the risk of sounding egotistical, I'll just say the truth. It's easy.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, it's easy. It's like, you know, you could talk every day of your life and talk about something different every time.
Yes.
If you pay attention to life, you know, life gives you something different every day. The sky is different every day. You know, the things you see is different every day. You know, I can be looking at a beautiful flower, but if I take one step to my left, the view is different. You know, so I pay attention as much as I know how to all of that. So life is not boring to me. It's not mundane. It's not routine. It's different every moment. And when I'm playing music, it's just describing my life, and my life is wonderful.
I mean, it's a great philosophy. So, like, we were a couple of months ago, we had the pleasure of interviewing Stu Cook from Creedence Clearwater.
Nice.
It was phenomenal. And we were talking to him about I was talking to him about Woodstock and what that was like for him, and you know, remembering the juxtaposition from starting out in these New Orleans clubs and then building this something at Woodstock that was so, you know, monumental and huge. And he was explaining his love for both the small venues and the large. And is there one concert or one venue or any time in your life that was like almost surreal by the amount of people or a specific venue? Or do you kind of you obviously probably have love for every, you know, different size and different place, but is there one that really sticks out to you?
Yeah, I do love every place, and I treat whatever gig I'm doing in this particular moment as my favorite. You know, I don't want to be on stage in front of you wishing I was somewhere else or thinking about another gig. But a special performance was in the mid-90s when we were with Bela, and we were a trio at the moment, and we did a tour for the government. We were part of the State Department.
Really?
So sort of like a USO tour, but different. It wasn't like we were playing for troops.
Uh-huh.
We were playing for, like, representing the United States as musical ambassadors. So we met and played for, you know, the ambassador of Mongolia.
Wow.
Or whatever, these different countries. And we went to 7 different Asian countries. And we played, I wish I could remember exactly where it was, but we played for some, like, these people way in the out hills of Thailand and Singapore. And we were playing for this one tribe that had never had a live concert before.
Wow.
And the tribe had about 2,000 people in it, and they were hoping to get 500.
Wow.
And now, Bela was very smart, because every country we went to, Bela reached out ahead. Sorry.
I like the new song you're working on. It sounds good.
Yes, we're using the natural sound. But anyway, we were going to these Asian countries, and in every country, Bela reached out ahead and asked for them to provide recordings of their national songs, like songs that everyone in the country would know. And so we learned them. And every place we went to, we played their song.
Cool is that?
So anyway, we're out here playing for this I'm going to guess Muslim tribe where, you know, they wore long robes. The women had their face covered. And here we are, the Flecktones, a strange band with banjo. My brother, you know, Roy, they call Future Man. He's got long braids, a pirate hat, playing this electronic whatever. Mm-hmm. And then here I am, you know, flipping my bass around my neck and just crazy too. And we're playing for this, you know, this tribe. Oh, and first, they were hoping for 5,000, but all, I'm sorry, they were hoping for 500, but all 2,000 came. Tons of people, just tons of people. And we're playing our normal music, and they're being nice, and they're listening. But as soon as we went into their national song, 2,000 people jumped to their feet, started dancing and singing, and it hit me hard, like, wow, this is what music is about. All of a sudden, it wasn't them and us. It was just us. All of us as together, one, you know, and it just felt so good to know that music can do that.
It's sick.
Yeah.
It's the thing that combines all of us.
Victor, you're an incredibly free-minded person, very artistic. You've done plenty of music. You had the camp. You written a novel. Is there some kind of art form or hobby or something that you haven't done yet that it's creeping in the back of your mind that you'd like to try out sometime soon?
Well, I love art in the sense of drawing. And, you know, and I just don't have the time to do it. You know, I have a bunch of unfinished things at home. I also love photography. And I found out that I like movie making.
Oh.
And I just did one. I don't know if I'd call it a movie, but I took an amazing trip to Africa, a non-musical trip, where I spent about four or five days with an African tribe, and then another the other half of the trip was like a safari where we were with these amazing guides and just going out riding around and looking at animals and listening to birds. And I took a lot of photos and video, and I put it together with music and just made an hour-long video you can find on YouTube called Journey to Africa, and just search my name and Journey to Africa. That's the only one I've ever done, but I went, man, I like this.
That's cool.
So I like to do more of that, but one of the main things I'd like to do, maybe even before that, is it's kind of sort of like my camp, but to lead nature trips, nature hikes, whether it's an afternoon or whether it's a week, where I take people out and we learn together, and just to help people get back to nature, you know, because we see flowers, we hear birds, we see trees, but I think if we knew more about it, our lives would be enriched, and we would take better care of it.
Victor, it's almost perfection. As you were saying that, I could hear birds tweeting wherever you're at.
Of course.
I think you should at your camps or in nature grow your own bass guitar at one point out of wood and everything and make it from the earth.
Yeah. Well, we've done that.
Really?
But that's one thing I don't have a desire to do, which is to build an instrument. In the year 2010, Nashville was hit with a huge flood, and our camp, part of our camp was actually underwater, and a bunch of trees were knocked down. It was just like, you know, hopefully only once in a lifetime flood. But we have a local builder who came by and asked if he could cut some wood from us, and we said yes. And he took some wood and he showed back up with a few bass guitars.
That's awesome.
That we now use at our camp.
Wow. Yeah. That's
so
tremendous.
We kind of literally did grow some instruments.
So now, Victor, you have, you've had so much influence on different people and you still continue to. I mean, even like our last interview, people who have listened to us say it was one of their favorite ones, and oh my God, you get to talk to Victor. What is it like, you know, I was scrolling through your Instagram, what is it like when people come up to you and show you a tattoo that has your initials on it? Or, you know, like, what is it?
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
It's crazy. it is crazy, but I take it as the, you know, some of the utmost flattery and honor. I'm honored that people would like me or either like what I do that much to permanently attach it to their body. And I've seen quite a bit of it, whether it's a logo that I used in my book, The Music Lesson, or I have a photo of one woman that had a picture of my bass guitar going down the back of her back, as well as song lyrics. Jeez. And written music.
Wow.
She took some kind of photo of some music I had written, and that's on her back too, as one of my songs. And, you know, It's just amazing that, and I'm just doing what I love to do.
Right.
It really does amaze me that people would think that much of it to attach it to their body. So, you know, for me, the good and the bad, I say thank you to it all.
Yeah.
You know, because it's what they want to do. So if they want to do it, I say, okay. Thank you for it.
We're still waiting for our first podcast listeners to get me and Mike tattooed on their back, but we're holding out. We're holding out strong. That
it can happen.
Apparently, an hour happen. And a half podcast is pretty hard to transcript and put on somebody's body. That's what we found out.
Victor.
I looked up and I see you have 5 Grammy victories. I have to ask you, are those prominently displayed somewhere? Or are you one of those laid back people where you're like, oh, it's probably in a storage bin somewhere?
Both. I'm very laid back because they were in a closet for years until my wife talked me into putting them out. So, you know, if you walk into my house, you won't see them. You know, but I can take you to where they're all on a shelf. You know, and you can see them. So they are out there, but you know, they're not you know, right at the front door. So it's the first thing you see.
It's not.
So
that.
You can show us your Grammy and then your winter clothes is what you're telling us.
Yeah.
It's not like the knocker on your front door. It's not. It's not that. Victor, you're ridiculous.
I'm very honored that people would vote me and give me an award. You know, my peers. Makes me very, very happy.
I mean, Victor, you're unbelievably.
That's not why I do it.
You're unbelievably humble. Like I said, you and Flea were the two reasons I picked up a bass and started trying to slap the thing, and figuring out what the hell you guys were doing.
Nice.
Never got anywhere that near that far, but. I want to, before we go, I know you're coming up this way. You're coming up to New York. You're playing at the Blue Note. Yes. Tell us about those gigs and where people can go to check you out.
Yeah. I think maybe the third week or so in July.
Yeah, I believe it's the 22nd through 24th. Yeah, I'll check that right now.
Yeah, that sounds right. But people can always go to my website, victorwooten.com, because my schedule is always posted there. And a lot of people know where I'm going to be before I do. But I do know that I'm going to be in New York with a couple of my brothers and some other friends. And we'll more than likely, because it's New York, have guests, special guests that show up. But it's going to be fun. You know, I always guarantee that anytime somebody comes to see me, it's going to be different than the last. And in most cases, you're going to see something you didn't even know was possible.
That's awesome. Victor, you continue to inspire us and me and whatnot. Just I love to hear that you still love what you're doing. You're still coming up with new stuff, and you're still just trying to create and have fun with it and kind of pass it down. So I give you all the respect in the world for that. So go check out Victor at the Blue Note or wherever else he's playing. But for our listeners here right here in Jersey and New York, it's a great place to go see him. Victor, thank you so much for giving us the time again. We really appreciate it. And good luck with everything you got going on in the future here.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on again. And I also want to tell people that, you know, we're doing our camps. They can go to my website or they can go right to the campsite, which is Vix Camps, VIXCAMPS, VixCamps.com. And they can check out all the camps that we're doing. We do them every month through October, and we love to see you.
That's awesome, Victor. Thank you so much again, man.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
I still want to get a picture of you in our podcast shirt.
You know what? I may have to get another one.
That's fine.
We've been in touch, and I've been looking for it, and I don't know where it is. So please,
I will
probably next to your Grammy.
Do that.
I will.
Yeah, come see us at the show and bring me one. We can do the photo right then.
All right. Yeah, if I can get off that time, I would definitely come on into the city for sure. If not, I'll have to mail you another one. It's not a big deal at all. So
let's do that. Either way, we'll get that picture for you.
Love it, man. Take care, and good luck with the camps, and good luck with everything. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. You guys take care.
Take care, pal.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right, Berlew. Victor Wooten, a second time. Not a bad guest to talk to the second time, considering, like, you know, you get maybe one shot to talk to someone you really look up to and get to bring them on again. I mean, that's like having Lenny Dykstra on again.
Well, I mean, if you just put a couple of pieces of crack rock on your front step, you might just get a in-studio interview with him. I'm sure he'll...
he's like the worst version of the Easter Bunny.
Yeah. Like, you'll put out a trap to catch a raccoon, and you'll hear Alex yell one day, "Honey, Lenny Dykstra is back in the front yard again."
I don't have the pesticides to get rid of him.
Just start slapping him with a broom. Get off. Get off. Go. Go. Go.
Yeah, Victor Wooten, a second time. You think we have a connection with him now?
Yeah, I feel like if we get him on for the third time, make him part of the three-timers club, we got to give him a nickname. I feel like I'm going to call him V-Dubs.
You're going to call Victor Wooten Grammy Award winner V-Dubs.
Five-time Grammy Award winner.
You're going to be like, "Yo, what up, V-Dubs? This is Mike."
Yeah, I feel he'd be kind of like, "Yeah, V-Dubs and the Pearls." Yeah, maybe.
Oh.
Maybe that's going to be our side project. Hold up.
Okay.
I got to see when he's back down in Georgia. We got to make this happen.
So in the last episode, you were talking about me and Launchpad McQuack doing a podcast together. So now you and V Dubs, are you guys doing a cast? Or are you going to, your side project, that could be a band.
Yeah, I mean, we're both artistic individuals, so the world is our oyster. What comes of our connection is to be determined.
Maybe you could join him at one of his camps and instruct something. Let's say they're through, and you know, he's like, he reaches out after this airs. He's like, guys, you guys did a really nice interview, but you know, Scott, you were okay. Mike, you really, I don't know, you shook something out of me with the questions you asked.
Next level.
Yeah, something just jostled loose, and I realized, you know, I don't think we should. I don't think we should be strangers anymore. I want to bring you in to the Victor Wooten camp. I'll take your salary, whatever you're making right now, but now you're going to come work for me at Wooten Woods, right? Wooten Woods. And with my brothers, like my brothers will instruct drums and bass, and I'll do bass, and we'll talk about the earth. And we need you to be one of the counselors. What would you instruct us on?
Maybe like twiddling some sticks or something. You know that guy in the rocking chair with a knife that just keeps on sharpening a stick? Right. I feel I'd be good at that, and I could instruct kids how to do that. Because, you know, you're in the woods. You never know when an animal is going to come attack you. So
what about a ham
egg?
I feel
you should be prepared.
A ham egg.
Was that?
A ham egg station.
I mean, that is a nutritious breakfast. I could teach the kids of the ham egg way.
Let's say that offer did happen. In a real life situation that happened, Victor Wooten said, come work with me. You make exactly what you make right now. Would you go?
Still in the same state, sure. I mean, if I got to basically sell the house and buy a new house, I'm like, all right, Victor, I mean, 5-time Grammy Award winner, 2-time verbal shenanigan guest, but...
Wait.
Can
you reverse the order of that, please? In order of importance?
All right, I apologize. You know, Victor Wooten, 2-time verbal shenanigan podcast guest... Also, 5-time Grammy Award winner. But you don't even know where your Grammys are. I know he'll find our shirt eventually.
That's going to...
You know, I'd be like, I need some, like, moving funds and maybe some cost of living ups, if you will. A little raise there.
Gotcha.
Maybe a title, too. I want to be senior manager of something. I'll let you figure out what it is, but I'm senior manager.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, maybe that'll be on his Wikipedia soon, like 2-time verbal shenanigan. Weren't you able to, like, I don't know if you still are, weren't you able to, like, go in and change Wikipedia back in the day?
You were able back in the day, but then everybody was doing it and Wikipedia was getting sick of it. I remember there was a running gag on Tosh.0 on updating his Wikipedia site, and it ended up, I think what it is if they notice a bunch of patterns happening with a certain site, they'll just lock it down. But I think you're still able to, like, go in and suggest it, or you have to give a citation to where you got this from. Like, I think we could technically go to Victor Wooten's Wikipedia and put under, like, other information, 2-time verbal shenanigans guest.
He's listening to this right now.
As long as we can get the links.
His fans are listening to this right now. Rules. Please, no. Don't do that.
The world's got to know. I mean, the world does know. I mean, we're verbal shenanigans, but.
Anyway, Victor, thank you for the second interview. It was a real pleasure, and it was kind of unexpected, and we've been working on it for a long time. So, another great moment in verbal shenanigans history.
Woo!
I'm definitely. I should add, like, a lot of echo to what I just said. Well, brother, I think before we get out of here, it's always nice to end on something. I think we're gonna end on a game that we debuted the other day. We get the reviews were unbelievable. Like, people chiming in, people emailing us, giving us suggestions, people debating. debating our top fours. A lot of feedback for our Mount Rushmore bit here. And if you go back a couple episodes, we did Mount Rushmore on arcade games, the greatest arcade games. And all joking aside, we did get a lot of people like interacting and kind of saying what their favorites were. So we really dug it. So we want you to keep up with that. And Berlo, this is your call this week. What do we got?
This week, Scott, our Mount Rushmore is going to be for the most overrated rock singers.
Overrated rock. So really being on the Mount Rushmore is not a great thing.
No.
Like, you don't want to be on this Mount Rushmore.
Well, I'll put it this way. Without giving out mine yet, the four I got on my list, I like some of the people. I like some of their songs. All four of them has a song that I kind of dig. But in my rating system, I call them overrated because how people view these singers
right.
is not where I see them in the grand scheme of, oh, wow, look at the talent we have here, for lack of a better term.
All right, just make sure it's not one of Victor Wooten's singers, because that would not really mesh really well with the podcast today.
In hindsight, we probably should have debuted this another week, you know.
Overrated bass player. It's number one.
Well, so, you know, preview, Scott used the same person for all four spots. It was weird.
All right, Berlo.
He said something about, you never wear my T-shirt.
No, you don't matter to me. I don't matter to you. Do you want to go first, or you want to defer?
I'm going to go by today's NFL coaches, and I'm going to defer to you, Scotty. I'm going to end the segment.
All right. I'm more than willing to step up and take the lead here, take the ball down the field, first drive of the game. So I got to go. This was my more modern pick. Not even that modern, I guess. Couple decades at this point, a decade and a half, I say. Actually just left us. This year, I got to go. I was never a fan. People raved about them. I think I've talked about it on the podcast. I got to go with Chester Bennington of Linkin Park.
I had a feeling he made your list.
I did never liked the band. I thought they were just a I thought they were a group that just capitalized on the sound of the time, which was kind of that rap rock blend. Now, do I think he could sing a little bit? Of course I do. Of course I do. But that is not the topic today, people. It is what you think is overrated. I think even now more so than ever, because he unfortunately passed away, he is overrated. And people love him. I think, and in fact, I saw him like sing some Stone Temple Pilots song, and I thought that was cool. So maybe I think his voice may have been better served in more of a traditional rock band than that kind of like rap rock 90s, early 2000s sound.
Now, were you a fan of anybody in that genre, the rock rap at that time frame, out of curiosity?
I would say when I was in high school, I liked the first Limp Bizkit record. I remember the first one.
Everybody did. Like, everybody mocks them, but everybody loved them when they came out.
Absolutely. I liked when Korn first came out, I liked them. I don't think they deserve to even be in the same category, but like Rage Against the Machine did do some rap and rock together, but I think they're one of the best bands of all time. Still holds up to this day. Still not one band that has ever sounded like them, if you ask me.
Rage Against the Machine. No debating on that.
I mean, Zach that combination of Tom Morello and Zach De La Rocha, such unique sounds on both of them that I don't think there's ever been a band that people have tried, but they have not come close to Rage Against the Machine. But overall, I think Chester Bennington, and this is not because he died. I would have told you, I would have said 2 years ago, I think I probably said it on one of these casts along the way. Before that, I'm not a fan. Obviously, this has nothing to do with his death, but I'm going to say he's overrated. Not Rushmore.
Okay.
Number one.
Okay. For my number one, I'm going to be honest by saying everybody knows my this person who's my number one, but probably if you say lists 25 rock singers, lists 50 rock singers, he may not just instinctively make a person's list. But I'm putting him on here because he came out at a time where I think rock was changing. I think rock was kind of losing its groove and popularity. And he was kind of like the new sound that came out. And people were jumping on it. And I liked his first song, but nothing about this guy really popped for me. And then the kind of what kind of christened him for Mount Rushmore would be that there was his Rolling Stone, where on the cover they literally called him the future of rock, my number one overrated rock singer, Beck.
Ah, all right. I can get with that. Now, I think Beck made some pretty cool songs, and I respect him as a musician, especially later in his life. Like, he did, not later in his life, he's not that old, but
yeah.
After Loser and his big hits, you know, he still did put out some pretty cool stuff. So I got to give it to – he does creative stuff, but I agree. I don't think – the category of singers, I don't think he's great at all.
Yeah, he's very artistic, but I think more on when he came out, when people were predicting the next thing, and just being the kind of new weird thing where everybody's like, yeah, this is where it's going. That's why I got him on the list.
I think that's a solid pick because I find him more of a musician than a singer. Like, I see, like, his music is more interesting than his actual voice. So I think that fits this category pretty well. I'm going to go with my shock pick, I guess.
Okay.
Not because, and again, you touched on this when you were introducing. Not because I dislike his music, because I actually like the band's music. But as far as a singer, I don't think he put enough content out over the years. I think he also gets praised because he came from this 60s, 70s era where he's just a really creative, insane guy. And would I want to see him? 100%. So I kind of took this topic in a direction of like just sticking with the sole overrated singer. Was he the greatest singer? And a lot of his songs were just him being weird and reading poems and lyrics. And now there's some songs I love by the Doors, but I don't think Jim Morrison is an all time. Like, people put him up there which I do want to talk to you after this, like as we end this, the Mount Rushmore of actually the rock singers that we think, like, maybe we can come up with. But I think Jim Morrison slightly overrated, and as far as where people put him, I think way overrated.
I can kind of see that because, like, with all the fanfare, like, everybody's like, oh, the Doors are legends. I don't really know a lot of people from that time frame who like really chatter about, yeah, I used to listen to the Doors all the time, or I think it's just like they kind of gained this folklore of the granddaddies of historians of rock. But like, really, when you dive down into it, it's like, all right, is this guy really that much better than somebody else in that time frame?
And weird and drugs. And I totally get it. And listen, I love a couple of people that are strange. When you like, I like some Doors songs, but. Like, of course I love some Doors songs, but overall there's some Doors songs I can't even listen to, and he's just making so that's why I put him on the Mount Rushmore, because in some people's book I think he would end up on the Mount Rushmore of good singers, and I totally disagree, which would make him again fit into this category of most overrated.
Yes.
All right.
So my number two, he's got really famous for being in a band, had kind of a solo career. Yes. I definitely like some of his stuff, but I kind of put him in here because as I look at him as a singer, I kind of see him more as a goofy comedy act almost than like a serious singer where I sit back and go, man, I have respect for the art. I think I might get a little backlash for this one, but my number two is David Lee Roth.
Yeah. I can see the backlash, but I agree with it. It might have been an error kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, Jump's an amazing song, his time with Van Halen, but then he went single and it was like all this, the California girls. I mean, it's not really, he didn't really make songs or music. It was almost like the jokey, ha ha, I'm wild and crazy and I want to have sex with women kind of deals where I can't really take him that serious. And I mean, I could debate I like Hagar better than him on in Van Halen. I really could. I think I'd like more songs from Hagar.
Interesting. So. I mean, I definitely I like Hagar's voice. I don't think he has the amount of hits or works that Roth has. But I see and I understand your point. And I'm also not, I don't put Van Halen as high as some people would put them on Rock Band. Like, I like their stuff. I like their stuff at a hockey game when the Devils are coming out and they're playing Running with the Devil. Don't get me wrong, but very rare do I just throw on Van Halen on my Spotify and get going. So I see your point here, and I don't really have a debate for you. So it's okay.
All right.
I'm going to go – I might get some backlash on this one, Berlo, especially considering where we are from, okay?
Oh, I already know where you're going here.
You might not, though. You might not, because I'm not going with Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
I'm not. Okay. I like Bruce Springsteen. I've seen him in concert. I think he's a good musician. He writes some good songs. I don't think he's on the Mount Rushmore of singers by any means. I don't think he's overrated because people kind of know – he's kind of like a Bob Dylan-esque kind of character, right? We know his voice is not the most amazing thing, but we kind of like his songs and his folkiness and his hardness. So I am not going with Bruce Springsteen, but I am going with New Jersey's other export, Bon Jovi. I can't stand Bon Jovi. I don't think he's talented. Now, listen, do they have pop songs that everyone knows the words to? Do I hate on them for doing what they do? No, because especially when you try to do any kind of art and you realize, hey, they figured it out, you don't really hate on them as much as you did when you were like a kid and you just hated bands for no reason. You're like, I hate them. But I think Bon Jovi is not a great singer. I don't love any of his songs really too much. Now, is that not saying, am I saying that at a wedding when they play, we're halfway at the end of the night and I've had 37 Jack and Gingers or a couple beers and everyone singing, do I participate? Oh, you bet your ass I am singing at the top of my lung. But I don't think anything played at a wedding or a party should ever be taken too seriously. You should embrace the music that's on at a party. If you are just a rock guy, you should embrace the poppiest of pop that comes out at a party, because that makes you more open to a good time. And I learned that early on because I grew up with a bunch of rock friends. We really liked rock music, you know? And it gets old really quick to be that guy. Really quick. Hey, this isn't good. Like, there's a reason those songs work and people play them, because they enjoy them. But Bon Jovi, I do not like. I find them as, like, really mushy, like, bubblegum kind of rock. No real grit to it at all. So I'm going to put Bon Jovi on my number three, I guess you would say, of Mount Rushmore. What are your thoughts on Jovi?
I don't have as much hate for Jovi as you. I agree with you 100% on he's more on the bubblegum pop side versus like pure rock and roller. But everything you're saying is valid points on why he might be on the Rushmore, because everyone in that Northeast area just gravitates to, this is like one of our prodigal sons.
Yep.
I mean, he's literally number two in New Jersey. And it's like, he's okay. I mean, he's got some chops, but at the end of the day, am I running to listen to his music? No, I don't think I am. So, I mean, I think everything you said is valid, and I have no objections to your pick.
Cheers.
All right.
All right, brother, number three to you.
All right. Number, I think my next two is, like, as I thought David Lee Roth might cause some stir, I think the next two would definitely get some pushback.
Oh, here we go.
From our audience.
Controversial shock jock Mike Berlew.
Yeah. Number three, this guy's been a part of the band since the 70s. The band can be described as maybe even iconic. I mean, I've never been huge on this band, no matter how popular they are, no matter how many world tours they did. And though I do like some of their songs, to show how little I care for them, when they made a deal with iTunes to give out a free album, there is nothing I can't stand when I have it on shuffle and one of their songs come up and I have to immediately get to my... and I have to fast forward. Scott, number three on Mike Berlew's Rushmore of overrated singers is Bono.
100% agree. No debate. Was probably going to make my Rushmore. I had a feeling that he might have been on your Rushmore. That's the only reason I didn't pick. And he, so I guess you could say he's a Scott Brennan honorable mention for me because he's right there. Totally agree. Had a couple great songs. What was it? Joshua Tree was that album. Really good songs. I liked them when I was little, but they became more and more and more obnoxious as the years went on. Even the band itself, The Edge, is not that – it doesn't do much for me. Like, the music the music has borderline been cheesy for a long time. Uno, dos, tres, catorce. 100% agree with you on Bono. I cannot debate this anymore because I am in lockstep with you on that pick.
All right. All right. Final one, Scotty.
All right. This one was so easy for me. When you said the topic, it was the first name that came to my mind. I am not a fan of this band. I am not a fan of most of their stuff. Again, will you catch me singing it if it's on? Absolutely. I'll sing Old Town Road. I'll sing Little Nas X. I don't care. I'll have fun with any song. But we're coming down the rock singers and people I think that are just not good. They are one of the biggest bands of all time. They sell the most merch ever, overly done, makeup and all. I just cannot stand Gene Simmons of Kiss. Cannot stand Kiss. Now, does that mean that I'm not going to sing Detroit Rock City if it's on and like we're out somewhere? Of course. Maybe I'll get into it. But I don't think he's talented singing-wise at all, really.
Really?
I do not like, I like how I said, do not, like I had like a Fargo accent there. I'm not a fan of Kiss at all.
Wow. I mean, that's not my go-to. I knew guys in my former job, like a buddy Lou, like he, every time they're in New Jersey, like you see on Facebook, makeup, beer in his hand, he's ready to go.
Oh, he was a guy who, put his own makeup on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Him, his wife, he always had another couple to go out with him. They were huge Kiss people. I think this kind of goes back to Bon Jovi. I'm not on the ultra hate on Kiss, but have no problem seeing them going up on that mountain there. They're a good band, I would probably say, in my view, but they are not the epic... Everybody, once we talk about greatest bands, they got to make the top 10 kind of deal.
First off, listen, their live show might be amazing because of the makeup and the explosives and the blood and the. They need that, I think. They need that to be relevant. I don't think. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a band. Listen, Chris Cornell didn't need to dress up in makeup to show how good his voice was.
Yeah.
No. So it was the easy pick for me. I'm not a Kiss fan. In fact, like Kiss, like it's one of those bands like I really don't like. And it, a friend of mine went to a show recently. He's not a big fan, and he had a good time. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, just the production of the show is really cool. And I'm like, I get that. I completely get that. But
and that kind of goes with this topic of don't look at like the whole spiel of the show. Talk about the music.
I mean, for God's sakes, I put Jim Morrison on here. That's a tough one. But, you know, like as far as a little overrated, I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Now, this will be probably the biggest one, I feel. Guy has been a legend forever in rock. I mean, literally, anybody talks about stories of rockers in the 70s and 80s talk about this gentleman. Kind of went away a little bit. Had a little reemergence, if you will, with a little TV show on MTV. he is... As a personality, love hearing the stories. Love how he came back from all the drugs that he did. Crazy stuff he did.
Probably still doing.
Yeah. And I even will say I went to a concert of his once. I went to Something Fest. I don't want to give away my answer yet. And I enjoyed the performance. But at the end of the day, I feel if I didn't see this individual, my life wouldn't have changed any differently, and I have much respect for everything he has done. But Scott, the final person on my Mount Rushmore is Ozzy Osbourne.
Wow. Shocking pick here. Shocking pick. I'm going to say overall I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
I get where you're coming from. Now, if I think of Ozzy's solo stuff, I don't love as much of Ozzy, but I really love some Black Sabbath stuff. I mean, some Black Sabbath stuff still holds up, and the vocals, I think, are amazing. I see where you're coming from. Now, I would not take Ozzy and throw him on my Mount Rushmore of greatest singers ever. But I take some of that Black Sabbath stuff, and I see what it did. It basically was one of the starters of metal. Like, it really was like one of the very first metal bands, if you will.
Yeah, I could have an appreciation for the accomplishments, what it did for the genre. But at the end of the day people put him at one. And maybe my top 25, I'll consider him, you know, at the lower end. But I do, to say Ozzy singer, put him at the top, no. And that's kind of where I made that decision. As I said with all four, I'm not sitting back saying these are the four worst rock singers of all time.
Of course.
I'm just saying they are the most overrated, in my opinion.
Well, I think if we had the idiocy to say these are the worst, we would just be lambasted, but we're just saying overrated. So I think it makes I get it. I disagree with the pick, but I like the explanation. So those are the Mount Rushmores. We'll put them up on the old Instagram machine and Facebook machine and see what you guys think. And again, put your top four out there. That's what makes this fun. Put your four out there. Say why you disagree with Mike. Why you disagree with me. Say, no, Scott, Jim Morrison's the greatest. Tell me why. That's what makes this fun. But real quick, because we're trying not to do topics that are, you know, have been discussed 8 million times. But I guess we have to really quickly say who do you think belongs on the Mount Rushmore of rock singers? I know I got to go Freddie Mercury.
Easily.
I got to go. Now, here's the interesting. This is kind of like the opposite of this. The band I was never super into, or his projects super into. I mentioned him before. I liked him, but I didn't dive deep into it. But his voice, I thought, was the most amazing thing. Chris Cornell.
It's hard to say for... I mean, I do enjoy, I have much respect, and I can listen to a few of his songs, but to put him
that voice though
up there in the top four, oh
God,
I see the point, but it's hard for me to pull the trigger.
Now, it's like, now listen, I was a bigger Pearl Jam fan, bigger Soundgarden, a bigger Stone Temple Pilots fan, bigger Chili Peppers fan. Soundgarden was in there, but just the voice alone. Like when you like Audioslave had some good songs, but I feel like you really got to hear his voice over the top of that. Just the power of his voice, like as far as a rock singer. If I was starting a rock dream band, Victor, I'd pick you as my bassist, but maybe Chris Cornell would be singing. Not anymore.
Nice.
Well,
that'd be an interesting combo.
Yeah.
Definitely would.
I'm trying to think of the other two. That would be tough for me.
Maybe we got to do that down the road as a topic because we're not getting this answer quick enough. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, you throw your John Lennon's in there. Was he the best singer ever? I don't think so. Did he write some of the most influential music? Yes, he did. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll get to that. But that is the Mount Rushmore. Now, Berlo, as we have started to incorporate this into our show, it is my turn to bring the next topic before the board, if you will.
All right. Let me get the executives in. Hold on. Come on in, gentlemen. Yes, I know. We'll have coffee afterwards. Come on in. Sit down. Now, all right, they're ready.
My topic is, there's a little asterisk you have to follow. This is for one of our best listeners. My topic is going to be cool Italians.
Cool Italians. Okay.
Now, the asterisk, you cannot pick four like mob movie guys. You can't do your list cannot be Pacino, De Niro, Pesci. Mm. Like you can pick one of them.
Yeah.
And you have to, obviously. But you get this one's gonna take maybe a little outside the box thinking, maybe looking up who is Italian that we don't even know. But the it is cool Italian. So Italians that are just cool. And this is one because I was listening to Pete and Sebastian show, Pete Corielli and Sebastian, and I was like, these guys are cool Italian guys. and I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, Dom's a big, or one of our listeners, Dom, is a big Italian dude. So why not? Mm-hmm. We're going to go with cool Italians in the next couple weeks or whenever we decide to put it. That is the topic.
Awesome.
All right. Let's get out of here, Berlo. Anything to promote?
Well, I just went to see the new Child's Play movie, which was really good. So to promote a former guest of ours, I'm promoting the Final Note Live with Alex Vincent. Alex Vincent, who played Andy Barkley in the original Child's Play movies, who we interviewed. Great guy. He's doing his own podcast where he talks to fellow actors and singers and so forth. Check it out. It's really interesting. You can find it on YouTube, the videos, or you can find it where you listen to your podcast selections. Go to The Final Note Live with Alex Vincent.
Yeah, that's part of our Halloween episode, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you're listening for the first time here, we always try to like make our Christmas and our Halloween episodes very interesting, which puts pressure on us now to keep it going. But we've had some cool Halloween and Christmas guests over the years, and Alex Vincent was definitely one of them. And I will promote. I'm gonna have to promote the Verbal Shenanigans comedy show, one for two reasons. Because it's going to be on a different day just this month. So Wednesday the 31st at Tapas 15 in New Jersey, in Jefferson, New Jersey. So it's going to be on the last Wednesday of the month for some scheduling things. But two, I got to promote it because I decided to headline a good friend of the show, good friend of ours. She's actually the woman that married me and my wife. She was our officiant. And she is more than capable of doing the job, and I know she's going to crush. Ms. Jackie Byrne is going to be headlining that show.
That is awesome. Is that her first headline?
I mean, I'm sure she's done shows before. I've had this thought of, we got an inner circle of comedians that are more talented than a lot of people I've seen doing closing out shows, and they deserve their shots, and I'm willing to give it to them. And it's a great show. Mike D'Anto, Mike Ciccoli, and Brett Druck, and myself, which you can ignore that part, but the other guys are killers.
Beardless Mike Ciccoli now.
Beardless right now. I made fun of him. I said I was gonna put his mustache picture on the flyer, but it started looking like an AIDS benefit flyer. Like we were raising money, like we were raising money for him. So you got to come out and check that out. It is free, and it is also probably the last show in the room the way it is. I'm not part of the.
You're in on the construction there, Scott.
Yeah,
you're in there with a hard hat at Tap House with me. No. You see the WWE, how they got that Titantron? I want that behind me.
We are expanding the room where there's outdoor seating, and it'll be kind of a different way. So it's kind of the last of the way it's been, and which is hard to believe. In September, it'll be 3 years of running that show. So
amazing.
Amazing. So go check that out. And I guess just check us out, guys. iTunes, all your podcast platforms, leave a review. That really helps. Check us out on the BS Podcast Network, on the Discovery County Network, on comingrightup.org. All that stuff. It's pretty cool. And go support all them and the other artists that are on those platforms. So, and I got to thank Victor Wooten. It's just amazing not to talk to you just once, but to talk to you twice. And if anything, from the podcast, the stuff we talked about earlier, life is not only funny, but life is short. So enjoy it, laugh at it, enjoy it, and keep the wind at your back, and keep tuning in, guys. Bye bye.